The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Seems to me that it is that every human being has a fundamental desire to be free. But it also seems to me that there are two fundamental yet radically conflicting sides to freedom. On the one hand, we long to be free to do and to become what we want to. And on the other, we want to be free from the responsibilities that the other kind of freedom often imposes on us. The desire to be absolutely in charge of our lives, and yet an eagerness to allow others to lead us. To be simultaneously, as it were, both kings and servants. A while back, a friend of mine who owns a small business told me that more and more, the people that he interviews for jobs, especially for the entry-level positions, are making two things very clear to him. They want lots of money, and they want lots of free time. They don't want to work overtime, they don't want to go on vacation, then they want lots of vacation time. Now, this may not be the case for everyone. A lot of people just want a job, or some want job security, and they'll work however they have to get it. Some are ambitious and want to work hard to get ahead, so they'll work whatever overtime you throw their way. But still, what my friend told me seems to be pretty typical of the human condition, at least under normal circumstances. People want the time and the wealth to be free to do what they want. That's not entirely crazy or unnatural or even a bad thing. But then you look at what they want to do with all that freedom. They become followers of the crowd. They spend their money on fashionable clothes, what other people are wearing. They go to the popular restaurants where other people are going. And they take trendy vacations where other people are going. They want to be kings in charge of their time, but they also want to be followers or servants of the crowd. Now, we all do this. When I was a young man working as a CPA, my main ambition was to eventually start my own practice. When I finally had my own practice, my own company, I realized how nice it had been to be the employee of someone else. When I had the freedom to practice my chosen profession, but also the freedom from having to worry about paying the rent or paying for my assistants and all this kind of stuff. Then as I started thinking about becoming a priest years later, I thought it might be nice to eventually be a bishop or at least a pastor. But it didn't take me very long to get over that. I wish I could say this because I got holier or I became more humble, but I can't. I just realized that when I was a parochial vicar, I basically had the freedom to be the priest my conscience led me to be, and the freedom from the administrative burdens of running a parish, much less a diocese. Now I'm a pastor, and while I'm in charge of the parish, and I can basically do what I think is right, I'm also responsible not only for paying the bills, paying off our debt, but also keeping all our programs and all the liturgies going. And not only that, I'm responsible for getting you to heaven. I am a king, and I am a servant. Now, the first words of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, tell us that in the beginning, the all-powerful God created the whole universe out of nothing. Absolutely nothing. From all time then, he has been in charge with all the power over everything. Everything was created through him, for him, etc. And as the last book of the Bible, St. John's book of Revelation, tells us, as we read today, even when he came down to earth as a son of man, as it says, God the Son, the incarnate Jesus Christ, remained, as it tells us, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. But the thing is, when he came into the world, he showed us that this divine kingship, his sovereignty over the whole universe, completely and totally, is lived out in an amazing way. The King of the universe shows himself to be a servant of each of us individually and all of us together. We see this from the moment of his incarnation, and it is fulfilled most beautifully on the cross. As St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians, though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God as something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And being found in human form, he humbled himself even unto death on a cross. And then, as Jesus himself says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. But if all that's true, if Christ is the all-powerful King of the universe who freed us from sin by his death, then why does sin seem to dominate the whole world and even us? Very simple. Genesis tells us that in the beginning, it says, God created man in his own image, and God said to them, have dominion over the earth. In other words, man is created in the image of the kingdom, of the King of creation. And then the King makes us kings of the creation he's made. Obviously, man is created with a natural capacity to be a king. But at the same time in the life of Jesus Christ, we see that this kingship is to be lived out in servanthood. We are clearly created not only to be in the image of the king, but also in the image of the servant, and to be servants of the Creator. So created in the image of Christ the King, while we're naturally destined to live both in the freedom of kings, we're also created to live in the freedom of servants. Now, part of both of these freedoms is the freedom to choose. Freedom would be meaningless, wouldn't it, if we weren't able to make choices? It would simply be a word, not a reality. And this is the reason why sin remains in the world. Specifically, the problem comes when we make the mistake of choosing between the freedom of a king and the freedom of a servant. For example, when we choose to act as if we're the king of God and not his servant. When we ignore or rewrite his commandments. Or we want to do our things our way, not the way that God created us to. Or on the other hand, when we choose to act as if we're nothing more than servants, free from any responsibilities. When priests and bishops leave it to someone else, maybe the Pope, to preach the harder truths of the faith. When parents leave it to the teachers in the schools to raise their children for them, to teach them values, etc. And when children leave it to their peers to tell them what to wear, or how to act, or how to treat their parents. Sin remains because from Adam and Eve until today, mankind has freely chosen to falsely separate the freedom of kingship and the freedom of servanthood. But we were not made that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. In the words of St. John we read today, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth and has freed us from our sins by his blood. As St. John tells us elsewhere, the saints in heaven, he says, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That same blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ the King, has been poured out on us from the cross, poured out on us in our baptisms under the sacramental symbol of washing with water. And that same blood flows into us, giving us a share in the life of Jesus himself. The life of our King. And sharing in the life of our King, we share in everything he has. In his power, we say grace. In his sonship, so we can be called truly sons and daughters of the Most High God through the Son. We share in his priesthood, as we read also today. And we share in his kingship. So that in baptism, that capacity for kingship that is built into us from the beginning is fulfilled and lifted up into the eternal kingship of Jesus himself. Now, Christ is King and you and I are not, except to the extent that we are united to Christ and his kingship. But in the power of Christ's kingship, we can live out the freedom from sin won for us on the cross in our daily lives and moment to moment. We need never be bound by the temptations of Satan or the enticements of the world or our own moral or spiritual weaknesses. We can be free to choose to be servants of the Most High King of heaven and earth by choosing to rule ourselves, both over our own passions and our own natural abilities, and then making free choices for good or for evil. As we continue in this Holy Mass, the King of heaven and earth, Christ, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, descends to the altar. Let us pay homage and adore our King. And by the power of this Eucharist, let us accept the freedom written in our hearts from the very beginning of creation, lost by our sins but won back for us on the cross of Christ, represented to us here in the Eucharist. May this sacrament renew and strengthen us in the freedom of Christ's eternal kingship. And in that kingship, may we freely serve him and one another, today in this world, and forever in the glory of the kingdom of heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ, the King, now and forever. Amen.